and good morning. It is 7:33. You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Linda. It's Tuesday, 7:30. That means it's time for Investing in Truth's financial planner, Brad Graber, here to help us handle our finances according to God's Word.
Brad, we almost need theme music for you. Good morning.
I'll be working on that.
You're going to work on that? Well, we always love having you. Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
I did.
Anything special? We want details.
Oh, right? Just lots of time with family out of town, and actually then got back yesterday and just did some gardening around the house.
You got any cookout leftovers?
No cookout leftovers,
well,
sorry.
That's okay, because we're going to celebrate a colleague's birthday, so we'll probably be grilling today.
You'll do all right.
All right. Well, we love the advice you have, especially because, Brad, you always tie God's Word into it. We're going to talk a little bit about retirement. You know, that's something that young people may not always focus on, but I know it's been swirled around in the news now because we've got companies closing, going through bankruptcy, longtime employees, now what? Managing our retirement. You know, how do we even start these 401ks, these 403bs? Can you give us a little snapshot of why they're valuable?
Well, one of the things you touched on at the beginning, and I'll say that when we get into the details of managing our retirement plans, it may not seem like it's actually a something we can base on biblical principles, but while there may not be direct scripture that relates to it, there are a lot of principles behind it. So I do want to stress that. It's important to make sure we have that biblical viewpoint of money even as we look at our retirement plans. So it helps us to avoid hoarding. It helps us to understand why we're saving, how that's providing for our families, all of those things. So I want to make sure that people understand there's still a lot of biblical principles that go into even managing our workplace retirement plan. But, going back to your question then, understanding our workplace retirement plan, it used to be like our parents' generation. You went and you worked for the same company for 40 years, and they provided you with some kind of a pension income stream that lasted for your life. And that landscape has really changed in the last 30, 40 years to the point now that our retirement, since we're jumping from company to company, that was one reason why they changed. But at the same time, people wanted more control of their retirement and wanted to be able to invest it as they wanted to. So it's really changed hands to now where the responsibility for our retirement is going to fall on us. So we get these plans like 401ks, 403bs. You may hear a lot of different names, but basically it boils down to we're allowed to contribute out of our salary to a workplace retirement plan, and then we get to choose the investments inside of that plan so we can, you know, for lack of better terms, control where our money is invested. And then how we do with that is going to determine how much money we have to live on at retirement. So it is a hugely important thing to understand and know how to manage. And unfortunately, a lot of employees haven't taken that seriously or haven't taken the time to understand it and do a good job of it.
Hey, Brad, I wanted to talk about, too, as we look at investing in these kinds of plans, what is meant by pre-tax contributions and why that is important.
Yeah, and the money that we're putting in, we have the option under the what they call the traditional type of contribution to put money in on a pre-tax basis. So that means, number one, it's easy because it comes out of our paycheck before we ever see it. But number two, it's being deducted from our paycheck and contributed to our retirement plan before it's ever taxed. So if you're contributing a dollar to your retirement plan, it may only cost you a net 60 to 80 cents, depending on what tax bracket you're in, from your net paycheck. So it gives us that ability to save more, do it on a pre-tax basis, which really gives us less effect from the amount that it's hurting our monthly budget. So if you haven't been contributing, and let's say you want to start contributing $100 a month, it's not costing you $100 a month out of your pocket. It may only be costing you 60, 70, 80 cents on the dollar to make that contribution. So I guess I was talking $100. So 60, 70, 80 dollars instead of the $100 that you actually contributed to your plan. So you're kind of leveraging the amount you're contributing because the IRS is saying that they're not going to tax it until you ultimately take the money out. So they're allowing you to basically contribute some of the money that would have gone to the IRS now.
How do you also explain, too, you know, just the company match? That's kind of critical, too. Now, every company's different. Every ministry is different, but that's kind of free money, too.
It is. And that's one thing where we need to understand, and it's surprising how many people I sit down with and start asking them questions about their retirement plan at work. One of the first questions is, does the company match your contributions? Because that is, it's a really important thing to know and understand how much they're going to match even. So where the retirement plans in the past used to be all money that the employer was putting in. Now you're the one putting the money in, and the company is basically giving you an incentive to contribute to your own retirement by saying that they will match a certain amount that you put in. So let's just use an example of if you put in 6%, they'll match 50% of what you put in up to that 6% of your salary. So if you put in the full 6%, they're going to give you 3% of your salary as additional contribution to your plan. But if you only put in 2%, then they're only going to give you half of that, which is another 1%. So you're leaving some free money on the table by not getting to that full match. So I always like to tell people, to the extent of your ability, try to get the full company match as quickly as you can. And even if you're not able to get to that now, start with where you're comfortable and then continue to work your way up until you get, you know, in that instance, up to that 6% of your salary contributed so that you're getting the full company match that they're willing to put in for you.
Brad, I know for a lot of people, some of the verbiage can just be confusing, and there are so many different options to choose from. And after a while, it all just seems to flow together in my mind. But I wanted you to touch on this, too, vesting on company match. Explain what vesting is. What is a vesting schedule, and what do we need to be aware of with that?
Yeah, so this free money we're talking about that's coming from the company match, typically there's going to be some restrictions on how quickly you can get access to that money. And basically the reason is, it's money that the company's putting in for you as a valued employee. They don't want people coming in, giving them free money, and then having them quit and take the money with them right away. So there's kind of that back-end handcuff that's put on the money as well. So when the company's giving you that 3%, they're also going to have a schedule that says how quickly you're able, or how quickly that money basically turns from their money to your money. And sometimes that can be something like 3 years, and then it goes from none of it's yours to all yours. Or sometimes they can do it over maybe a 5-year plan where each year 20% of it becomes yours. And so again, it's important to understand how quickly is that money becoming your money. So understanding that vesting schedule, because if you're with a company for 2 years and none of it's yours until the end of 3 years, then you don't get to take any of that money with you when you leave the company. So it is important to know.
You know, recently I went on the site that we have through our ministry and increased my giving. It's like I had to figure out a percentage. Is this going to work? You know, can I financially handle this? And then it gives you an idea, calculator thing, Brad, where This is what you really need to be doing if you want to have this much when you retire. And that was a little daunting. So I thought, well, I'm going to clearly be working for a long time, which is okay. But, you know, it was comforting to at least bump it up a little bit. You know, the percentage coming out, the free tax money, the free stuff, you know, getting me ready for retirement down the road someday.
Yeah, and I always like to encourage people, too, if you're not contributing what you think you need to be contributing today, and what you did is exactly what we should be doing. We should always have an idea of what is that ultimate goal that we're not only what are we saving for, but how much do we need to save to be able to accomplish the purpose. So we're saving for retirement because we know that one day we're not going to be able to work and provide for our lifestyle through labor. So we're setting some of it aside during our working years so that it's there when we no longer can go earn a paycheck. So what you did was exactly right. But we got to start somewhere. So I always encourage people when they're young, first getting that job, start the retirement plan right away. Start making that contribution. If you're not able to contribute as much as you think you would like to, then if you get pay increases over time, always skim a little bit off of the pay increase and increase the amount going to your retirement plan. And you'd be surprised how few years it actually takes before you're able to get the full company match and then ultimately get up to a larger percentage that will fully fund your retirement. And a lot of people like rules of thumb. It's kind of hard to do that because, as you probably saw in your situation, the percentage you would need to contribute to fund your retirement fully is going to be probably more than somebody that's just 25 years old and has 40 years to fund their retirement. But as a goal, I like to tell people, shoot for 15%. If you're just wanting a rule of thumb between what you're putting in, what the company's putting in, trying to get to 15% is getting a good percentage put away for you. and then do those calculations through the years and see where you stand. So the closer you are to retirement, 15% may not be enough. But if you're starting work and start contributing 15% in your early 20s, you're probably going to be done funding your retirement well before you actually even need to retire.
Hey, Brad, I know how important it is to put money aside for those retirement years when, as you said, we can no longer have an income stream coming in through labor because we've just reached that age where, well, labor is tough, so we need to retire and find some other means. But you say that some company plans allow you to borrow against the balance of your plan because sometimes that retirement's sitting out there, but we need the cash now for whatever. But the idea of taking out a loan against that seems really scary to me.
Yeah, and it's a provision that's put into a lot of plans because, hey, we know that putting money away for retirement is a long-term commitment. So if a lot of our money is being set aside for that purpose, they give us this, for lack of better terms, a spigot to be able to get some of that money back out for specific purposes or hardships or just those temporary needs that we have. So by allowing us to be able to borrow funds from our plan allows us to have access to some of that money in there, but there are some strings attached. So with workplace retirement plans, there is limited access to the funds, but through these loan provisions, you're able to basically borrow money from your own plan. And then you set up a structured repayment schedule so that you're putting the money back in. And by doing that, you're avoiding any kind of IRS penalties and taxes that would typically be on taking out retirement funds. And the reason is you're making this agreement to pay it back in. The problem is, what if we can't pay it back in? If we can't get it paid back in, then it's going to be treated as if it's an early distribution, and there's taxes, there's penalties all thrown on top of it, and it makes for pretty expensive money to have gotten out for whatever that purpose would have been, where it probably would have been cheaper to go to the bank and get a loan. But to the extent we're able to pay it back in, it is a reasonable source of funds. But the other thing we have to consider, too, is the unexpected. So what if we lose a job after we take out a loan? We're probably going to be given a short time frame to be able to pay the money back in, or it's going to be considered an early distribution. So we need to be aware of that. It's not always going to be in our control to be able to pay that money back. And if we can't, what's that situation look like? So with any kind of debt, there's always strings attached. And it's no different when we borrow from our 401k or our 403b plan.
All right, Brad Graber, helping us to wade through some of this managing your workplace retirement very critical. Looks very different from my parents' day when they back in the day when you worked at the same place for many years and you had the traditional retirement. You can get more information on Brad's website, investinginTruth.com, and this conversation will be posted later today on our webpage.
Yeah, you'll be able to go to moodyradio.org/Indiana. Click on the morning show banner when you get there to access it. And you'll also be able to link up with Brad's website, which is investinginTruth.com. Hey, Brad, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Always a pleasure.